Chapter 7, Srila Haridas Thakur's Conviction in the Holy Name. Upon seeing transformations on the body of Srila Haridas Thakur, induced by the practice of bhakti, all the Brahmins of Phulia village, who busied themselves practicing karma kanda, Vedic ritualistic activities, became astonished. Thus realizing the utter uselessness of karma kanda, they condemned their performance of ritual and develop profound faith in him. After taking bath in the Ganga, Srila Haridas Thakur used to roam here and there while loudly chanting the names of Sri Hari. The Qazi, means the Muslim magistrate of Phulia, saw this and could not bear it. Haridas was Muslim by birth, a Yavan, but because he was chanting the names of the Hindu's god and adopting Hindu conceptions, the Qazi considered Haridas' behavior contrary to their religious principles and a grave punishable offense. Because of his sectarian thinking, he considered the living Bhagavat, Srila Haridas Thakur, to be subordinate to material time, place and circumstance. Actually, Srila Haridas Thakur was transcendental to any influence of material time, place and circumstance, being a self-realized soul. Due to Qazi's contaminated consciousness, he tried to bring Srila Haridas Thakur's supermundane spiritual practice under the control of his government, which was contaminated by mundane time, place and circumstance. Thus, the Qazi went to the king of Bengal, a Muslim, and complained about Srila Haridas Thakur, saying, "Although born a Muslim, Haridas has adopted the beliefs of the Hindus. You should quickly have him brought here and punished, or else other Muslims may see him and also become attracted to Hinduism." Hearing the words of the sinful Qazi, the wicked Muslim king, who was antagonistic toward bhakti, ordered his soldiers, "Go seize Haridas and bring him here." Following the king's order, the soldiers quickly went to the village of Phulia to seize Srila Haridas Thakur. When they informed him of the king's order, Srila Haridas Thakur, who by the mercy of the Lord possessed great power and fearlessness, immediately began walking with them of his own accord. As he walked, he chanted, "Krishna, Krishna." Eventually, they arrived at the court of the king and presented themselves before him. Krishner Prasad Haridas Mahashay Yavaner Ki Daya Koler O Nai Bhai Shri Chaitanya Bhagavat Adi Khand 16.39. By Shri Krishna's mercy, Srila Haridas Mahashay was not even scared of death, to say nothing about the Yavan king. The residents of Ambuya had already heard about Srila Haridas Thakur's performance of Nam Sankirtan and the transformations of Prema on his transcendental body. Therefore, when they heard that he would be arriving in their village that very day, their hearts filled with joy at the possibility of receiving his darshan. At the same time, they felt extremely morose that the Yavan king had called Srila Haridas Thakur to punish him. They knew well that the king was terribly cruel and envious of the devotees, and that he would severely torture such an exalted devotee as Srila Haridas Thakur. His mysterious blessing upon the prisoners. When news of Srila Haridas Thakur's auspicious arrival reached the ears of the prisoners confined within the king's prison house, those prisoners with a noble heart began to dance of joy. They knew that Srila Haridas Thakur was a supremely elevated devotee, and that merely glimpsing such a person drives away all kinds of suffering. Therefore, they firmly believe that by having darshan of him on that very day, all their suffering would be removed. With folded hands, they therefore presented a request to the guards. "O brothers, when the soldiers bring Sri Haridas Thakur to the king, kindly permit us to have darshan of him." The guards accepted their request, and all the prisoners eagerly awaited Srila Haridas Thakur's arrival. After a short while, Srila Haridas Thakur reached Ambuya with the soldiers. When he saw the prisoners, Srila Haridas Thakur desired to bestow his mercy upon them. So he went and stood before them. Seeing the all-enchanting and unparalleled beauty of Srila Haridas Thakur's body, with his long arms and his face with eyes like lotuses, the prisoners bowed before him in a great faith. As soon as they offered their obeisances to him, transformation of Krishna Bhakti arose in their hearts, and they began to weep in ecstasy. Smiling, the causelessly merciful Srila Haridas Thakur gave them a concealed blessing. May you forever remain in your current situation. The prisoners were saddened to hear this. Unable to understand the hidden purport behind Srila Haridas Thakur's words, they thought to themselves, "He is indeed a very cruel person." When Srila Haridas Thakur saw their reaction, he understood what was going through their minds. "Because you do not understand the real meaning of this blessing, you feel unhappy," he explained. "I urge you to carefully consider its real meaning. I have never given a blessing that would bring inauspiciousness upon anyone. May you forever remain in your current condition means, may you continue to constantly think about Krishna and chant his names together as you are doing right now. At this time, you are devoid of the tendency to harm or give troubles to others. Therefore, call out Krishna, Krishna in a distressed voice and meditate on him. You have attained a good opportunity to develop your Krishna consciousness. Bad association can make one forget Krishna Nam, so Srila Haridas Thakur cautioned everyone to give up all kinds of bad association. When you are released from prison, may you not again pollute your consciousness by associating with wicked people. Keep in mind that it is impossible for living entities to engage in Krishna bhajan, as long as their propensity to enjoy material pleasures remains strong. Know for certain that Sri Krishna is very far from materialists," he continued. "A mind absorbed in material pleasures is the root cause of all sorts of entanglements. Wife, children, other family members, and other dear ones are Maya's traps, and they are death personified. It is only due to great fortune that a soul possesses the spiritual credit called Sukriti to associate with saintly persons. By hearing the instructions of those personalities and by receiving their mercy, the mind of the materialist withdraws from material enjoyment and he engages in bhajan of Sri Krishna. The purpose of my blessing was not that you should remain forever locked in this prison house. Instead, I meant that you should, for all time, forget material pleasures and chant Hari Hari. May you attain the perpetual association of high-class sadhus so that you remain immersed in cultivating activities pleasing to Sri Krishna called Krishna Anushilan. And may you always have the good fortune of associating with sadhus and chanting the names of Sri Bhagavan. I spoke enigmatically, so please do not feel even slightly sorrowful after hearing these blessings. My glance upon all living entities is compassionate. I give all of you my blessings to have unflinching devotion for the lotus feet of Sri Krishna. Do not worry, you will be released from this prison house within 2 or 3 days. But you must be especially careful to not again fall into bad company, for this will drive devotion to Sri Krishna from your heart. Do not concern yourself with the joys of this cross body, which come with its freedom from prison, nor with the sufferings resulting from its imprisonment. Simply chant the holy name of Krishna for all time. The blessings of the venerable Vaishnavas, who are oceans of mercy and who bestow Amando Daya. Footnote: compassion that is amanda, or never causing inauspiciousness. Never bring inauspiciousness to anyone in any situation. Indeed, their blessings are supremely auspicious in all ways and under all circumstances. the Yavan king's advice. After bestowing mercy upon the prisoners, Srila Haridas Thakur came to the king. Upon seeing the astonishing brilliance coming from the transcendental, radiant and enchanting body of Srila Haridas Thakur, the king offered him a sitting place with great respect, while Srila Haridas Thakur's tongue incessantly chanted Harinam. Seeing Srila Haridas Thakur's unbroken absorption in transcendental sound, Vaikuntha Shabda, the narrow-minded king who was intolerant of other religions, politely asked, "I want to know this. What has caused your degradation? There is no race superior to the Yavans. It is only out of great fortune that you have taken birth in a Yavan family. Why then have you accepted the behavior and customs of the wretched Hindus? Hindus belong to a class inferior to ours, and that is why we reject even food touched by them. Yet you freely mix and eat with them without any concern. You have taken birth in a very reputable race. It does not befit you to give up your topmost noble class and degrade yourself to this lower one. By acting like the Hindus, you are transgressing the principles of your religion and social position. How will you gain deliverance after death? Have you ever pondered this? It seems to me that you have never seriously considered this matter. Therefore, I advise you to atone for the sins that you have unknowingly committed in ignorance by reciting Kalma." Footnote: special verses from the Quran that are recited in adopting the religion of Islam. One God for all. Hearing the statements of the king, who was bewildered by Maya, Srila Haridas Thakur said, "Just see the influence of Lord Vishnu's illusory energy." The causelessly merciful Srila Haridas Thakur thus smiled and began to explain the absolute truth, Ishwar Tattva, with sweet words. "Dear sir, the Supreme Lord is non-dual, eternal, unequal, and the master of everyone. The Supreme Lord for all, whether Hindu or Muslim, young or old, man or woman, is one. Both Hindus and non-Hindu Yavanas who are ignorant of the truth regarding the Supreme Lord imagine they are various gods, owing to his different names. They thus ignorantly oppose each other. But when they give up this disharmonious difference of opinion and impartially examine both the Yavana scripture, the Quran, and the Hindu's scripture, the Puranas, they will not find any incongruity regarding the absolute truth. Therefore, the conclusion is that there is only one Supreme Lord for all. For the Hindus and Muslims, the only difference lies in his names. The Supreme Lord is completely pure and transcendental. He is indestructible and eternally unchangeable. He cannot be divided by sectarian feelings. He is inexhaustible and can never be diminished. He is present as the indwelling super soul, Antaryami Paramatma, in the hearts of the souls of both Hindus and Muslims. The Supreme Lord present in the hearts of the Yavanas is also present in the hearts of the Hindus. Since time immemorial, the conditioned souls have turned their faces from Krishna, and their pure intelligence has been contaminated as a result. In other words, by coming under the control of temporary convictions based on material time, place, and person, they consider themselves the enjoyer and become averse to serving the Lord. As a result of not realizing that fully complete and indivisible super soul situated in their heart, they are led astray, and they thus wrongly take him to be finite like themselves. Yet, even in such circumstances, if a person gives up imaginary material enjoyment as well as mental speculation, which is rooted in renunciation, then through the power of bhakti, he can realize that Sri Bhagwan is the only true object of service. That indivisible, imperishable, eternally pure Lord directs the conditioned souls who, following the dictates of their mind, perform different type of fruitive activities according to whatever qualification he has bestowed upon them. In other words, the souls situated within the three worlds act only according to the inspiration bestowed upon them by the Lord. In this world, people of all religions glorify the name, qualities, and so forth of that Supreme Lord in terms of the conclusions of their own religious scriptures. The Lord is known as Bhavgrahi, Bhagwan Janardhan. The Lord who accepts the mood, bhava of a devotee rather than just his external actions. If one commits violence by disrespecting the transcendental sentiments of another, then that violence is actually directed towards the Supreme Lord. Therefore, one ought not to commit violence by action or intention toward another living entity. If a person tries to forcefully convert another, influencing that person's way of thinking in terms of his own personal, narrow-minded views, then he is not only denouncing the other's religion, but is also committing violence toward the object of worship of all religions, the Supreme Lord Himself. Service to the Supreme Lord and violence to Him are two completely contradictory acts. If due to bewildered intelligence, a person considers an act of violence as service to the Supreme Lord, then he eventually becomes averse to the service of the Lord and violent toward his devotees. When a living entity is devoid of love for Bhagwan, he sometimes becomes filled with material desires and anya bilashi, sometimes a fruitive worker, karmi, sometimes a hatha yogi, sometimes a seeker of the undifferentiated Brahma, and sometimes a raja yogi. To induce the jiva to serve Sri Mukunda for the jiva's own eternal welfare is certainly not violence. On the other hand, to involve the living entity in activities opposed to the service of the Supreme Lord, which are meant only for gratifying the senses, is to commit violence against him. Everyone should certainly give up such activities. I am engaged in serving the Supreme Lord in whichever way he inspires me in my heart. A person is able to progress in his service to Bhagwan according to the particular type of mercy he gives him. By the Lord's desire, I am involved in serving Lord Vishnu, which is the dharma of the Brahmins, although I have taken birth in a Yavan family. Similarly, if the Lord so desires, a person born in a Brahmin family can give up his position as a Brahmin and, following the whims of his mind, abide by the scriptures of a society that is inimical to the Vedas. In such a situation, what could the Hindus possibly do? Whatever activities a living entity engages in, as per his inclination and inspiration, he receives his due punishment or reward. Therefore, there is no need to punish him separately. According to the impressions from his previous births, a particular faith, shraddha, and inclination arises in his heart. Neither you nor the Hindus can do anything about this. It is entirely improper to try to prevent someone from accepting a dharma they feel inclined towards by threatening punishment. Dear sir, please consider my statements carefully. If you still feel I am at fault, then you can certainly punish me. Unwavering faith in Sri Nam Prabhu. Hearing Srila Haridas Thakur's truthful statements, which were in line with the Vedic scriptures, the king and all other Muslims present became completely satisfied. Only one person remained dissatisfied, the wicked Kaji, who originally complained to the Yavan king about Srila Haridas Thakur. Upon seeing the Yavan king's heart changing, the Kaji flared with anger and he induced the king to act. Do not get carried away by his statements. Please order him to desist from chanting the name of the Hindus' God and from visiting and eating at their homes. Please order him to study the Quran and chant Allah's name. If he does not comply with your order, then you should certainly punish him. Otherwise, this miscreant will definitely inspire others to become like him. This would bring great calamity upon our Muslim religion. Hearing the words of the Qazi, who was blind to all piety, the king deliberated on what the Qazi had said and then politely said to Srila Haridas Thakur, "O brother, if you agree to study the Quran and chant Allah's name, then you will have no need to worry. No one will disturb you. Otherwise, even if I do not order him to do so, the Qazi and his men will punish you later. At that time, out of fear of punishment, you will have no choice but to accept our Muslim religion. Therefore, it would be better for you to again happily accept it now. What is the use of becoming unnecessarily shamed?" Srila Haridas Thakur fearlessly said, "Whatever the Lord desires will come to pass. Without His desire, no one can do anything. It is the Supreme Lord alone who rewards or punishes a soul according to his activities. Yet the ignorant soul boasts of being the master of his own destiny. The jiva is only the medium. In reality, everything happens by the will of Bhagwan. Therefore, if it is the Lord's desire to punish me, then I happily accept it." Srila Haridas Thakur is the ever truthful embodiment of resolute faith in Sri Hari Nam Kirtan. Being the brilliant example of tolerance and unflinching faith in his most cherished Sri Nam Prabhu, Sri Haridas Thakur expressed submission and said, "This much is certain. Khand khand hai de jai jadi pran, tabu ami vadane na chhari hari nam." Sri Chaitanya Bhagavat Adi Khand 16.94. "My body may be cut into pieces, or I may lose my life, but I will never abandon uttering the holy name." Srila Haridas Thakur continued, "This material body obtained from one's mother and father is temporary. A person whose life runs against the service of Sri Krishna is absorbed in material pleasures and thus subject to change and destruction. Sri Bhagwan and his name, however, are eternal and inseparable from each other. The transcendental name is not like the names of material objects, which have been contrived by human beings. The transcendental name, Vaikunth Nam, and Bhagwan, the possessor of the name, means Nami, are one and the same. I can therefore never give up my service to the Nam and put my faith in service to my gross and subtle bodies. Every living entity is a servant of Bhagwan, that is, everyone is a Vaishnav. Vaishnavs have no occupation other than chanting Sri Hari Nam. The only occupation of living entities in the stages of both practice, sadhan, and perfection, siddha, is to render service to Sri Nam. I would never give that up for proper social conduct as defined by ordinary men. Happily and without protest, I would accept any punishment dealt out by such a society and its rulers, but I would never give up eternal service to Sri Hari to run towards temporary material happiness. I have no other duty than performing Krishna Sankirtan of Vaikunth Nam, which I have received through the disciplic line, because I am an eternal entity. Both my gross body and mind are separate from me, the soul, whereas my body and mind are temporary objects." After hearing the infallible words of Srila Haridas Thakur, the Yavan king asked the Qazi, "Now what should we do with him?" In an attempt to shroud the truth broadcast by Jagat Guru Srila Haridas Thakur, who was completely fixed in the transcendental sound received through the disciplic line, the demonic Qazi adopted a course of violence and said, "Without any further consideration, order your guards to drag him through 22 marketplaces and beat him until he dies. If he survives, then I will believe him to truly be an honest and perfect soul, and I will believe that whatever he says is the truth. But if he dies, it should be understood that he received the punishment he so rightly deserved. The Qazis shouted at to the guards, "Drag him through 22 marketplaces and whip him so thoroughly that he dies. He has committed a fearsome offense by converting to Hinduism, even though he took birth in a Muslim family. He can be delivered only after his death. For a Yavan who gives up his own religion and accepts the customs and religion of the Hindus, death is the only justifiable punishment. There is no greater sin than converting to Hinduism after taking birth in a Muslim family. The only atonement for such a sin is capital punishment." The sinful king agreed with the atheistic Qazi and ordered his soldiers to have Shri Haridas Thakur dragged and beaten in 22 marketplaces. The cruel guards caught hold of Shri Haridas Thakur and in great anger dragged him from one marketplace to the next, brutally beating him in each one. Those who bear malice against Vaishnavs quickly become filled with sin. The atheist Qazi and the king who acted on Qazi's advice committed a grave offense against Srila Haridas Thakur and were thus the most wretched of offenders. Those servants of the king who on his and Qazi's order caught Srila Haridas Thakur and beat him also became wicked due to their fault of associating with sinners. Yet, even while the guards were thrashing Srila Haridas Thakur, he remained in total bliss, absorbed in meditating on Shri Krishna and chanting Harinam. Because he was immersed in Namaras, Srila Haridas Thakur did not experience even the slightest bit of difficulty. The contented Srila Haridas Thakur, who had fully absorbed his mind in Shri Krishna, was totally oblivious to external distress and happiness, and compiled with the desire of those cruel men. Seeing Srila Haridas Thakur being beaten so brutally by the cruel guards, those possessing some devotion became extremely disturbed and heartbroken. Some people cried and said, "This kingdom will soon be destroyed because such a great saint is being so mercilessly beaten here without any reason." Some people, distraught by the Yavan's ill-treatment of Srila Haridas Thakur, cursed the Qazi and the king, while others made plans to attack the guards beating Shri Haridas Thakur. Some people begged the soldiers to be merciful and spare Srila Haridas Thakur's life, while others ran and fell at the feet of the guards crying, "O brothers, please beat him a little more gently. We will give you a large sum of money." Yet, even after hearing the pleas of these people, the hearts of those cruel, hateful sinners who were malicious towards devotees did not melt even a little. On the contrary, they angrily beat Srila Haridas Thakur with even more force. By the mercy of Shri Krishna, Srila Haridas Thakur did not feel even the slightest pain from the guards' brutal beating. It was similar to how no harm came to Prahlad when, on the order of demon Hiranyakashipu, he was tormented in many ways by demons. Such tolerance is naturally inherent in great devotees. They are so deeply absorbed in the Lord's service that they are not disturbed by the cruelty of the inhabitants of this world who are averse to Bhagwan. It is for this reason that Sri Gaur Sundar has mentioned in his Sri Shikshashtak that only one who is even more tolerant than a tree can perform Harinam Sankirtan, others cannot. If a spiritual practitioner has no tolerance, then he cannot perform Hari Kirtan. In this world, people who are inimical to the Lord have causelessly and repeatedly attacked the propagators of the truth, who are engaged in Hari Kirtan and who bestow all kinds of auspiciousness. They make all sorts of evil attempts to close such preachers' mouths which are intent on chanting Hari Kirtan. Intoxicated by the liquor of pride in their birth, caste, wealth, and mundane scholarship, the society of those opposed to the Supreme Lord relentlessly and laboriously endeavors to obstruct the only truthful reality, Shri Hari Sankirtan. concern for his attackers. Simply by the smaran, remembrance of the Lord of Srila Haridas Thakur, who was truth personified, the most terrible sufferings were automatically dispelled. What disturbance could these sufferings possibly bring him? He was thus completely unaffected by the guards' fearsome blows and instead worried for their fate. This is quite befitting, since saintly persons feel agony in their hearts for those great offenders who act against the devotees of the Lord. They consider such pitiful offenders to be the greatest need of welfare and deliverance. The same quality could also be observed in Jesus Christ and in Muhammad. Srila Haridas Thakur was worried. Bhagwan will never forgive these guards for beating me. He thought, what will be their destination? His heart began to melt and he prayed, O Shri Krishna, please forgive them. Please do not punish them because of me. Although Srila Haridas Thakur prayed to Bhagwan for the welfare of those merciless soldiers, they ruthlessly beat him while dragging him from one marketplace to the next. With a desire to kill him, their anger increased at every moment, and their beating of him was horrific. But even after beating him relentlessly, they saw no sign of distress on Srila Haridas Thakur's face. Upon seeing their demonic endeavors utterly defeated, the guards discussed the situation among themselves. Can any human possibly survive such a brutal beating? We have previously beaten many others like this, but they died after just one marketplace, or in some cases two. Yet, today we dragged him into 22 marketplaces. Not only that, instead of dying, he is blissful. There is not even the slightest hint of distress or pain on his face. In fact, he is smiling. He must certainly be some kind of Jinda Peer. Footnote: Persian for living Muslim saint. An empowered soul equipped with divine mystical powers. After deliberating in this way, they said, O Haridas, today all of us will be doomed because of you. When the Qazi hears that you did not die even after being beaten so much, he will surely kill us in a rage. He willfully stops breathing. Srila Haridas Thakur is free of envy. Although the guards who beat him were verily the followers of demons to protect them from the imminent rage of the cruel Qazi, he assured them that no harm would come to them and, smiling, said, if inauspiciousness will befall you by my staying alive, then I will die just now. Saying this, Srila Haridas Thakur became so completely absorbed in the remembrance of Sri Krishna that his body grew inert, so much so that even his breathing stopped. The soldiers were left astonished. They then lifted him and dumped his body by the king's door. When the king saw Srila Haridas Thakur's unconscious body, he ordered, go and put it in a grave. Hearing this, the Qazi said, if we bury him in a tomb, he will attain a high destination. After many births, he had the good fortune to take birth in a Muslim family, yet he committed the most abominable act of adopting Hinduism. Because of this, it would be appropriate to throw his body in the Ganga, so that his ruhu, soul, will ride there for eternity. Although all the yavanas heeded the order of the Qazi and tried to lift the body of Srila Haridas Thakur to throw it in the Ganga, he could not be moved. While he was enraptured in his blissful trance, Srila Vishwambhar, means the maintainer of all living entities, entered his body, which Srila Vishwambhar situated there, who had the power to move Srila Haridas Thakur. The mighty yavanas tried to push the body of Srila Haridas Thakur from all sides, but he continued to lie motionless like a pillar. Srila Haridas Thakur was entirely unaware of the external world due to being fully immersed in the ocean of remembrance of Sri Krishna. He did not even know where his body was, in outer space, on earth, or in the Ganga. He always carried the Lord in his heart. His absorption was like that of Prahlad Maharaj, who also had no awareness of the external world, due to being ever submerged in the remembrance of Shri Bhagwan. This kind of rapture was not unusual for Shri Haridas Thakur. The power of Naam Bhajan. In reality, no one was capable of even touching the body of Srila Haridas Thakur. But in order to instruct to the world the topmost idol of tolerance, he accepted the terribly cruel beating of the Yavanas, just as Shri Hanuman was voluntarily bound by the Brahmastra weapon sent by Indrajit in order to maintain everyone's respect for it. By this, Srila Haridas Thakur also showed that although those averse to bhakti, the Anya Bilashis, means those with desires other than to serve Krishna, the Karmis and the Mayavadis may perform many outrageous acts against a devotee, the devotee never gives up his Naam Bhajan. If a person takes shelter of Harinam with resolute determination, then no one in this world has the power to cause him harm. Shri Naam Prabhu will himself certainly protect him. For these reasons, when Srila Haridas Thakur returned somewhat to external consciousness, he allowed the Yavanas to do as they desired. Otherwise, who could throw someone like Srila Haridas Thakur, whose protector is Shri Govinda himself, in the Ganga? Satya Satya Haridas Jagat Ishwar Chaitanya Chandrer Maha Mukhi Anuchar Shri Chaitanya Bhagwat Adi Khand 16.142. It is certain that Srila Haridas Thakur is one of the greatest followers of Shri Chaitanya Chandra, the Lord of this universe. The Yavanas had not been able to move Srila Haridas Thakur's body even an inch, though they had tried to do so in many ways. They became astonished that they were now able to move his body effortlessly, and they threw his body in the Ganga. As he was carried away by the river's current, he drowned in the ocean of Krishna Prem. After some time, by the Supreme Lord's desire, Srila Haridas Thakur fully returned to his senses. In other words, he regained external consciousness after fainting in Prem. In supreme bliss, he reached the bank of Ganga and then, while loudly chanting the holy name, walked to the village of Fulia. There was not even a single bruise visible on his body. Moreover, his body was even more effulgent than before. People could not believe their eyes when they saw that Srila Haridas Thakur was still alive, even though it seemed he had been beaten to death and thrown in the Ganga by the Yavanas. The news spread like wildfire. Seeing his astonishing power, the Yavanas' intentions to harm him left their hearts and their minds became free of contamination. Whoever offered pranam at his feet with reverence and humility, understanding him to be a liberated soul, became free from the conditioning of material life. The king prays at his feet. When the news of Srila Haridas Thakur's apparent resurrection reached the king, he came running and fell at the feet of Haridas Thakur to beg forgiveness. "You are truly a Mahapir, means perfected soul," said the king. "The yogis and the gyanis only profess to be perfected souls, but you have actually achieved perfection. I have come here only to receive your darshan. Please be merciful and forgive all my offenses. To you, both friends and enemies are equal. What to speak of me? Nobody in this universe has the power to know you. I am just an insignificant human. Without understanding your glories, I have committed a heinous offense at your feet. Now you can stay on the bank of the Ganga, in a secluded cave or anywhere, according to your desire. You may do whatever you like. No one will create any obstacle for you. Please bestow your merciful glance upon me and forgive the unpardonable offenses committed by this extremely sinful and abominable being. How astonishing are the super mundane glories of Paramhansa Mahabhagavat. Footnote: topmost swan-like devotee of the Lord. Vaishnav Thakur, the king had been completely devoid of bhakti and filled with animosity towards Sri Haridas Thakur. Controlled by vehement anger, he had ordered his soldiers to bring Sri Haridas Thakur in front of him and punish him brutally. But in the end, that very same atrociously sinful person who had been completely opposed to Sri Vishnu and the Vaishnavas became astonished and charmed upon seeing the brilliant epitome of forgiveness and tolerance shown by Srila Haridas Thakur. The king began to worship Srila Haridas Thakur's lotus feet, understanding him to be a Mahapurusha sent by the Supreme Lord. Not only that, but that atheistic Mahapradi, burning in the fire of remorse, begged forgiveness for his offenses. He even felt compelled to offer prayers at the lotus feet of Srila Haridas Thakur. After showering his mercy on the king and other Muslims, Srila Haridas Thakur, while loudly chanting Harinam, arrived in the assembly of the Brahmins in Folia. Influenced by the narrow-minded sectarian views and animosity toward bhakti prevalent in the society at that time, some so-called Brahmins had not accepted Srila Haridas Thakur as a pure devotee. After hearing of his extraordinary and astonishing potency, however, the dignified Brahmins now accepted him as such. As soon as they had darshan of him, they joyfully broke out into an uproarious kirtan. Upon hearing Hari Kirtan, Haridas Thakur danced exuberantly. His transcendental form manifested symptoms of ecstasy, ashtasattvik bhav, such as the shedding of tears and horripilation, as well as laughter, fainting and roaring. Immersed in prema ras, Srila Haridas Thakur sometimes fell to the ground. The Brahmins were enraptured. After some time, Srila Haridas Thakur composed himself and sat down, and the Brahmins also sat, surrounding him on all sides. He accepts the Yavana's persecution of him as a gift from Bhagwan. Srila Haridas Thakur considered himself to be an ordinary living entity bound by the reactions of his previous karma, action. In great humility he said, "O respectable Brahmins, please do not feel sorry about the punishment I had to face. In reality, I received this punishment from the Lord Himself as a fruit of a frightful offense, hearing criticism of Him. It was Bhagwan's special mercy to forgive me and give me such a small punishment. Otherwise, I would have received the due punishment for hearing Blashmi of the Lord, which is residence in the hell named Kumbhipak. The Lord gave me a fitting punishment for my offense, so that I shall never repeat the same mistake again." Om Vishnupad, Srila Bhakti Siddhant Saraswati Goswami Prabhupada has clarified the above statements of Srila Haridas Thakur in his Gaudiya Bhashya of Sri Chaitanya Bhagavat Adi Khand 16.166. Srila Haridas Thakur thought to himself, "It is due to the faults of my previous misdeeds and to my aversion to Bhagwan that I faced the punishment of having to hear words that opposed him. While following the dharma of tolerance, I did not appropriately counter the piercing words of atheistic people, and that is why Bhagwan has punished me in this way. Bhagwan issues severe punishment to those who, in the name of tolerance, do not attempt to defeat the statements of those who blaspheme him and his devotees." Even after hearing the criticism of Hari, Guru and Vaishnavas, the members of the Prakrit Sahajya Sampradaya, footnote, those who understand the transcendental pastimes of Supreme Lord to be mundane and think that the transcendental truth is attained by material practice, try to pass off their detestable duplicity as Vaishnav etiquette. For this reason, they will certainly attain a ghastly, contemptible destination. Srila Haridas Thakur certainly exemplified the topmost idol of the dharma of tolerance. But the hypocritical Prakrit sages try to artificially imitate Srila Haridas Thakur's tolerance, and thus they receive many different types of suffering. Ma Bhagavat Paramhans Vaishnavas naturally possess a heart that is free of all criticism and so on. They do not pay even the slightest heed to the criticism, glorification, idle talks, gossip, and other discussions indulged in by others. However, when Prakrit Sahajiyas attempt to imitate such Mahabhagavat Vaishnavas, having not reached that advanced stage, their conduct can only be called abhorrent and deceitful. For this they must certainly suffer. In order to make the duplicitous Prakrit Sahajiyas understand this point, Srila Haridas Thakur brought up the matter of karmic reactions as suffered by ordinary persons. The Prakrit Sahajiyas are subject to the reactions of their actions. But Srila Haridas Thakur, who is the crest jewel among the liberated soul and forever engaged in chanting Harinam, is not bound by such reactions. Srila Rupa Goswami has addressed this point in the fourth verse of Sri Namashtak. Yad Brahma Sakshat Kriti Nishtapi Vinasham Ayati Vinana Bhogai Apayati Nam Suranin Tatate Prarabd Karmeti Virauti Vedaha. Without undergoing any suffering, a devotee's Prarabd Karma, means fructifying reactions to previous acts, cannot be eliminated, even by resolute meditation on impersonal Brahma. However, O Master, such karma is at once uprooted by your appearance as Shri Nam on the tip of his tongue, in the form of Namabhas, a semblance of the pure holy name. The Vedas also loudly declare this fact. In his Gaudiya Bhashe of Sri Chaitanya Bhagavat Adi Khand 16.167, 168, 169 and 171, Srila Prabhupada further states, that foolish person who, misinterpreting the real import of the verse of Sri Shikshashtak, beginning Taror Api Seheshuna, feigns politeness and tolerance upon hearing the blasphemy of Vishnu and the Vaishnavas, and poses as being elevated and liberal in valor, should be understood as undergoing the reactions of a great offense. The endeavors one makes with the sense to receive the gratification of collecting material prestige should not be mistaken for Hari Bhajan. Therefore, Jagat Guru Srila Haridas Thakur is targeting the great fault of the foolish Prakrit Sahajiyas who make a show of deceitful humility, instructing the whole world by humbly saying, it would have been befitting if Hari, Guru and Vaishnavas were to punish me, a great offender who did nothing to confront blasphemy against them with a more severe punishment. However, Bhagwan is supremely merciful. He freed me from this offense through the tiny punishment of being brutally assaulted by the guards. By doing so, he has only demonstrated his great Amando Daya. Footnote: compassion that is amanda, or never causing inauspiciousness, which has left me feeling extremely happy and satisfied. I twisted the meaning and purport of the verse beginning Tatyanukampa mentioned in Srimad Bhagavatam 10.14.8. Footnote: one who accepts as your mercy the results of his own actions, as well as the happiness and distress of his prarabdha karma, who endures them with an undisturbed mind and who maintain his life by offering himself unto you by body, mind and words, is eligible to attain your lotus feet, which are the shelter of liberation. Which has left me feeling extremely happy and satisfied, which is why I did not protest. This was my grave offense. It is mentioned in the scriptures that he who does not protest upon hearing the criticism of Bhagwan is an atheist who must go to the exceedingly torturous hell named Kumbhipak. with the intention of teaching the Prakrit Sahajya Sampradaya. Practicing this gross misinterpretation of the term humility, Srila Haridas Thakur said, "From now on, I will never hear the blasphemy of Vishnu and the Vaishnavas while priding myself as a Vaishnav under the cover of Trinad Api Sune Chena." From the third verse of Shri Shikshashtak, meaning more humble than a blade of grass, and a veneer of Trinad Api Seshuna. Also from the third verse of Shri Shikshashtak, meaning more tolerant than a tree. "I have received a suitable lesson. Bhagwan is supremely merciful. He taught me by giving me an insignificant punishment for my grave offense. Unfortunately, the members of the Prakrit Sahajya Sampradaya, who are offenders of the holy name, Nam Aparadis, fail to understand the real purport and essence of all these statements by Shri Haridas Thakur. After some days, the atheistic Yavanas met with the same miserable condition that all tyrants receive as a result of bearing hostility towards the Vaishnavas. It is said in Skanda Purana, 'Hanti nindanti vadveshati, Vaishnav nav na abhidandati. Krudete yati no harasham, darshane patanti sat.' One falls down to a degraded position by these six types of Vaishnava prad: to kill a Vaishnav, to slander him, to bear malice against him, to fail to welcome or please him, to display anger toward him, and to not feel happiness upon seeing him. In accordance with this infallible ruling of scriptures, those Yavanas who never begged forgiveness nor repented contracted ghastly diseases such as tuberculosis and cholera, and were destroyed along with their families.